This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It's been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott Chan and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everybody. We are laughing because our producer, Micah, is actually in rare form today. He's funny. And that doesn't happen all the time.
No, it's great. It's great a lot.
It is. And, you know, it's always nice when he turns on your microphone. Sorry about that, Doc.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't really
I was being
speak
funny, guys.
Apparently he was. So, but hey, Doc, cheers. Here's cheers. To another great Brews Day for us.
That's right.
What are we drinking?
So I happen to bring a four-pack of the Chill Pill Pilsner with us. Mm. It is our spring kind of beer that goes really, really well. It's a Bavarian-style Pilsner, a little hoppy on the end. With some Hallertau and a golden colored, and it just goes down really, really smooth.
It's very tasty. I noticed you didn't bring any pickle juice, though.
No, I didn't. I left that back there.
Oh, man.
So you have to come in and throw a little bit of pickle juice.
Apparently, I'm going to have to. So.
And it does matter which pickle juice you use.
Yes.
You should pick a good pickle juice.
I absolutely can believe that. Well, speaking of dropping in, had the chance last week with the Colorado Pint Day.
Oh, yeah.
And got to stop in and got to have a pour at your place, which is always great. And it looked like, even when I was in, and I was in fairly early because I had a plane to catch, and so I was doing that before I jumped on a plane, but looked like you had a decent crowd there. How did it go for you?
Yeah, we had no idea it was going to be such a big hit, so we didn't order as many glasses as maybe we should have. We were sold out of glasses in about 2.5 hours, which is kind of nice. In a way, I don't have tons of excess glasses, but I'm sure I wouldn't have tons of excess glasses, even if I would have gotten tons more glasses. So, but it was really great to have people come in, buy a glass with a beer in it, sit back, relax, and then maybe grab a couple extra glasses to take home so that they could have a set.
Yeah.
Because the design on those glasses was just phenomenal.
Really, really good design.
Yeah.
I was marveling at that, and I love that it is artwork that was generated and created by a brewer in Grand Junction, and that's where it came from.
So. And I love that idea.
Yeah.
And I've already seen the survey come back out, and they wanted to know if we had any ideas for next year's artwork.
Oh, nice.
And so I gave them a couple ideas there.
That's fantastic.
So we'll see if my Three Amigos idea comes.
Oh, my gosh. We could have a Doc Mosier-inspired Colorado Pint Day glass in 2025. So, you know, talk to your local legislators and make sure we make that. get a lobbyist going, and we're going to get Doc in there.
It actually was really, really fun, and it got us a chance to meet some people that we hadn't seen before who were out looking specifically for glasses. So they thought they'd stop with us first and see if we had any.
Awesome.
And then they were going to go to the other places anyhow.
Yeah.
And they just figured, well, I'll just get the
glasses
start here.
Now,
and we'll just get the, you know, just go with the other places and just grab beer there. So
that's fantastic.
Who knows? They probably grab glasses there too.
They may have. And, you know, but the nice thing is that, as we talked about last week, you know, the proceeds go to the Colorado Brewers Guild, and it really is helping to further and push and develop, you know, craft beer in Colorado, and which also helps, you know, all around the U.S.
They do an awful lot of good work down in the legislature. And with the governor, and working with them on new laws, saying, hey, you know, this law is going to hurt us a lot, so maybe we can restructure it, or, hey, we need a law that helps this way, that kind of thing. And working with all the legislatures to do that it's time-consuming, and it requires an awful lot of personnel and man hours to do it, so it's good to help support them doing that.
It's great that happens, and it's being done in a positive advocacy way.
Right.
And again, it's something that almost everybody can agree on. There's nothing wrong with a good beer.
Exactly.
So it's a good thing. Well, I'm super glad that you guys had a good showing and good support of that. So that should be good. I was able to go, And I don't remember when it was. Actually, I think it was a little bit more than a week ago. But I actually ran into a gentleman who runs a brewery in Golden. Mm-hmm. And it's Holidaily.
Oh, okay. Yes,
and,
I know.
Yeah. And so I've reached out to them hoping maybe they would like to make the trek up. But it was funny because, you know, they actually have their beer in a couple places in Coors Field because they are a gluten-free beer.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. But we were joshing back and forth about, you know, the Rockies and baseball and everything else like that. And so we were just having a good time. And I bring that up because that was just another element that brought us together. And he said something about beer, and my son heard him and said, oh, you should talk to my dad because he does a radio show called Brew Talk. And so we started talking, and I just love how, you know, beer has the ability to bring us all together in a way that is, it really positive and relational and beneficial.
Well, and
us.
People seem to be a little bit more social when they're sitting down with a beer in front of them and doing things like Pint Day or other activities at your local brewery. It is a great way to just, you know, if you don't even know anybody when you walk in the door, you'll have some friends before you leave.
Absolutely.
And that's just fun.
And like you talked about and have talked about in the past with the Collab Fest and some of the other things that go on, those are great ways to get breweries talking together and working together. Right. And I've...
Well, we get into this groove, you know, and we're like, okay, got to make this, got to make this, got to do this, got to do that. And we tend to forget that there's other breweries around that can help lighten the burden a little bit. And so it's kind of nice to have those get-togethers to talk over problems that you might be having or suggestions or, you know, new hints on what to do and that kind of stuff. So it's really fun to get the brewers together. Just you could imagine just how that would be if you were just a customer going in and, you know, oh, hey, I got somebody in, well, I've got a problem with my car and, oh, you should take it to this person.
Yep.
And that kind of stuff is goes on with the customers. It also goes on with the brewers. And the Brewers Guild is really good at doing that. The Brewers Association, which is also an organization here nationwide that was actually founded here in Colorado.
Wow.
And is actually run out of Colorado. They do a great job, too. So there's actually two really great organizations here in Colorado for brewers.
So let me ask you a question then. Is it because the Brewers Association is in Colorado that we have the distinct privilege of being able to host the Great American Beer Fest every year? Oh, wow.
It is, because that's a Brewers Association event. They put on the Great American Beer Party, whatever you want to call it.
Great American Beer Fest, the GABF.
And the biggest place they can find is the convention center down there in Denver. And so they do it there every year.
That is fantastic. You know, it was funny when you were saying that they're here, and it was like, well, maybe that is why it's always been here. I've just always lived in Colorado and felt like we were incredibly blessed because we were in the middle of the country, and maybe that's why they picked us.
No,
but that makes sense.
No, actually, it was founded in, if I remember correctly, I think the original founding members for the Brewers Association came out of Boulder in the 70s, and that's where they started doing things. And one of the very first events they ever ran was the Great American Beer Fest.
Wow.
And well, the first couple of times they ran it, there were only a handful of people that went. So you can imagine now with you're with the, you know, 100,000 of your closest friends as you go to it, that back in the day it might have only been 100, 150.
I can only imagine how incredible that event would be at that scale with that amount of people because, you know, we've talked that it sells out every year and it's super busy and it's super packed. And I remember in the late 90s where you could go to, you know, Applejack and you could buy a ticket the day of.
Right.
And you were pretty well, you know, it was always busy, but it was never sold out. And it was never to the way it was. And I'm not quite sure if I think that's a good or a bad thing because it tends to make it more of a hip thing to do as opposed to something to go and really enjoy and explore beer. You know what I mean?
I think initially when they started working on it, they were thinking, oh, let's get customers together with brewers so they can talk about what's in the beer. They can find out, oh, I like this beer and da-da-da. And the brewers could interact with their customers. And that has changed a little bit. So that's okay.
Yeah.
It's still a great event.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And enjoy, you know, being able to go and take that event. I've had the pleasure several years ago to actually pour for City Star during one of their events, actually on my birthday. And so it was kind of like this little, hey, why don't you guys come? If you would like, you can go to the event and you can pour for us, and it's on your birthday and all the other things. Well, so it was a lot of fun.
We've all had our, I think you were there too.
Yeah.
We had our most amazing time taking our picture in front of the Wiener movie.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool too.
So. Yeah, the things that come out of that.
I know.
Right? And, you know, we now know this year we're going to have wrestling back at the NoCo Brew Fest.
I know.
So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be great.
It's just fun.
It is. There's just so much great things that come about it. And one of the things that I want to say before we go to break that I was thinking about when you were talking about this is that there are certain industries, and I think the major beer corporations would fall into this category, where you don't get along with your competition. They are competitors.
Right.
They are, you know, you want them to not do well, and you want to do well. And if you can do well at, you know, at the expense of one of your competitors not doing well, you will take that all day long. And everyone I've ever talked to in the craft beer industry, and I don't have near the experience or the longevity that you do, but the impression that I constantly get is that the craft brewers are just this collective group of individuals, and they're always looking out for the common good.
I've had so much help from all the brewers here in town, and I know that there's going to be a day when they're going to ask for my help in return. And I love working with them, and hopefully they like working with me. So they're my competitors, but they're not.
Right.
They're not my competition.
Right.
They're my collaborators.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to think about it. We're all in this together just to have fun.
Yeah. And
make some great beer along the way.
And I love that concept. I love the way that that works, because I think that in the end, you know, what do they call it? A rising tide raises all ships. And
that's
really
correct.
Think that in the craft brew industry, when we do things like this, when we have a Colorado Pint Day, it gives recognition and opportunity to everybody, and they all benefit. You know, I can't think that there are craft brewers out there that go, yeah, this is a terrible idea. I don't want to do this. It's not a great. And some of them may not be able to afford to participate, or they're too new or whatever else. But it isn't like I'm going to actively work against this because I think it's a bad idea. It's a great idea.
No, everybody is on board.
Yeah.
We all want to work together to improve the industry and, you know, make some great beer.
Well, and I think we saw, you know, there was over 225 craft breweries across the state that participated, and we were blessed enough to have four of them in our city, and Rule 105 was one of them, and super thankful for that. So,
yeah, it was great.
Doc, thanks for being a part of that that industry. We really appreciate
it.
I'm so glad. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some numbers and some data that have come up in regards to the craft beer industry, and Doc tells me that he's got a statistics for me that I'm not going to believe, and that I'm probably have no idea what that's going to look like. So we're going to take a break. Stick around, and we'll see you right after the commercials.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Brew Talk, coming to you live from the Aloe Fiber Studios in beautiful
Midtown Greeley.
Yeah. On 103.1 and 1310 KFK, Northern Colorado's voice. All right. So,
yeah,
we were talking about craft brewers right before we went to the break, and we have seen there's some positive numbers about growth in the craft beer industry, mm-hmm. which is good. We did hear some sad news yesterday that Renegade Brewing out of Denver is actually going to be closing their doors.
Right.
They opened in 2011, and hopefully they are able to move on to some bigger and better things. But we are saddened that we're losing another one in the Denver metro area.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And I think there's plenty of reasons for it. It's not because they're making bad beer.
Right.
It's just, you know, this is not the best time to get into brewing.
Right.
As a brewer.
Sure.
It just means, though, that there's a little bit more selective group of brewers that are available for anybody to go visit. The fun thing is the Brewers Association put out a report just today that kind of goes over some of those numbers.
Oh, yeah?
In 2023, which is the
current
data.
Yeah, the full.
The number of operating craft breweries reached an all-time high of in the United States of 9,683.
Wow.
So that's up from the year before by about 100.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
It's slowing down. The growth is slowing down, but growth is still continuing, and that's great.
That's two per state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just
year.
Like doing math.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we added a plus two breweries in every state effectively.
Pretty much.
That's cool.
Yeah. The interesting thing, though, is that 495 new brewery openings actually did occur.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there were 418 closings.
Yeah.
And openings decreased for a second consecutive year, with the trend reflecting a more mature market, is
sure.
what they say. The closing rate did increase, but continued to remain relatively low at approximately only 4%.
That's good.
Which is still pretty good when you consider restaurant open versus restaurant close rates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Breweries are still doing quite well. The kind of the neat numbers that are in here are how much beer gets manufactured here in the country.
Oh, okay.
So we had to do a little bit of math to figure it out, but I think we've got it here. How many million barrels of beer in 2023 do you think were made?
Now, overall or just in...
Just in craft.
Just in craft beers. You know, I'm going to go with a big number, and I'm going to say 12 million.
And you're about half the way
No
there.
Way!
Yeah.
Wow.
So about 23 million barrels of beer were made by craft
just brewers. Just craft brewers.
Just by craft brewers in 2023 in the United States.
All right.
That's actually a decline of 1% from the year before.
Okay.
However, the total amount of beer that was manufactured, if you do the math, you figure it out to be about, 170 million barrels, is that right?
Okay, so craft brewers are making up right around 13%
of the total. 13%
of the total,
right? And
wow.
Even though there was a decline of 1% from the previous year, craft beers have actually increased their percentage. So the overall production of beer has decreased by 1%, but the production of craft beer has increased by 0.2%.
So their percentage went up, and then the total amount of beer being produced actually went down. Wow.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of cool. In fact, the overall beer market shrank 5.1% by volume in 2023. And the retail dollar value was estimated at $28.6 billion.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money involved in that. This report, which is on the brewersassociation.org website, is kind of cool because it also lists the top 50 brewing companies in the country.
Okay.
And
how many does Colorado have on that list?
Three.
Okay. So,
knowing that Colorado's are not in the top five.
Yep.
What would you think is one of the top five craft beer producers in the United States?
Oh, my gosh. And this is where my lack of real intimate knowledge of craft brewers,
because the craft brewer definition does decide whether or not you're a craft brewer or not a craft brewer.
See, and I'm immediately thinking in the U.S., I'm thinking Sam Adams. Does Sam Adams count as a craft brewery?
Boston Beer Company.
Number two. Okay. So I got one.
You got one.
I'm quitting there because I know I'm not going to get the rest of them. So I mean,
other ones that you might not think of, yeah. Yuengling. I wouldn't have thought of them as a craft brewery.
I would not have either.
But because of their volume, they are classified in the craft beer industry.
Yeah. There's a great Star Wars joke in there. You ever seen the picture of Anakin and he shows up to a party and he's carrying a six pack of younglings and they're like, "Hey, we didn't say it was a BYOB." And he goes, "Hey, you know me, I'm always up for killing some younglings." So I know it's really bad taste, but you know, anyway,
snare drum when you need it. Sierra Nevada.
Oh yeah.
Was number three.
Okay.
Duvel was number four.
Okay.
Gambrinus is number five. And then we get into...
Gambrinus? Wow.
They do, they're in Shiner, Texas.
Okay.
One in Berkeley, California.
Interesting. Okay.
And then you get into a whole bunch of other, groups of breweries, including other breweries like Deschutes, New Glarus, Allagash, if you've heard of these.
Oh, yeah.
Harpoon out of Boston.
Had an Allagash White last week when I was in Grass Valley, California.
Great white beer.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh. And then you get to number 25.
Which is
Odell.
Oh, there we go.
So Odell is the lowest ranked of the three Colorado brands that are listed in there. The other two are part of groups, which includes Monster Brewing.
Oh, interesting.
And Tilray beer brands.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with Monster. I'm with Tilray, and they have actually quite a few brands, and they actually picked up several from Budweiser. So you think Shock Top, that's actually a part of the Tilray family.
Right.
You've got Breckenridge Brewery, Blue Point Brewing, 10 Barrel, Red Hook, Widmer, Square Mile, and then Highball Energy, which I'm not really sure that is an actual beer company. But
no, it's a drink,
but it's a beverage. But several of those that are
so familiar. The Breckenridge Brewing wouldn't probably be in the top 50, but because they're part of the group,
they're
number six with Tilray.
Yep, that makes
sense. So the one that's by itself in Colorado, really great idea to put it all of them by themselves, and so you can see where they stack up. But that's Odell Brewing.
Yeah, that's great.
They do a great job out of the Fort Collins there.
They definitely do. They do some good stuff and good beers and. Mm-hmm. Glad to have them representing Colorado well. If they are. Yeah. They're doing a good job with that. So fantastic. Cool. Lots of good data around beer. And I think the takeaway that I get from that, Doc, is that Americans as a whole might be drinking a little bit less beer than they have in years past.
Right.
But as a percentage, they are drinking more craft beer than they have previously, which I think bodes well for everybody.
And the number of jobs is up in this industry, too, because the number of breweries is up. It seems to be fairly stable to own a brewery, although we've had a few have to leave the industry. But overall, while the big picture is that people are drinking a little bit less beer, they're being a little bit more selective in what they drink, I think.
Sure. Yeah, and I think we've talked about, we estimate there's close to 500 breweries in Colorado, something like that. And at your closing rate, you would expect to see maybe 20 of those close over the course of a year at 4%. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we're seeing that big a number here in Colorado. So I feel like that in Colorado, I don't want to say we're insulated and we're isolated from some of those things, but I think that, like in many ways, from an economic perspective, we tend to get some of the benefits of being a less volatile state. But we also get the benefit of some of those things that show up in, great craft breweries, and we get really good quality ones, and they're able to stick around. And so our closing rate in Colorado, my guess, is probably below that 4% number.
It would be nice to see what the rate was based on the states, to see if there was a particular region of the country that was losing more and another one that was not losing very many.
Yeah.
But it's still overall 4% is not very many when you think about it in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. And that's your net loss. So you're going to have, breweries that are opening that are also having an impact in that regard.
Right.
And actually, I may have that wrong because I think there were 4% closures, but the overall net, we saw growth.
We saw growth.
So we actually saw more open than closed. So even that is a great number to work around and to be thankful for and to be happy about here in the one of the best beer states in the country.
I'm blessed every day when I wake up and go, you know, this is a great state.
This is a great state, yeah. And we do a lot of good things. And, you know, we don't do everything right, but we do some things really well. And I think beer is one of the ones that we do really, really well. So, well, speaking of doing beers well, I've actually got a review beer here from a local brewery to Colorado, New Belgium. And we're going to check that out, but we're going to do that after the break. So stick around as we review a New Belgium beer after the break.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Boy, I almost want to sing when Tough Enough comes on.
Right.
Is that I would walk 10 miles on my hands and feet just so I could come home and kiss your cheek.
Or drink a beer.
Or wrestle with a lion or a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby. I don't care. Ain't that tough enough? We could do the whole song here. But we're not going to because we have a beer to review.
That is right.
Yeah. And so haven't had this one before personally. Doc, I think you said you've tried this before. But I thought it'd be kind of fun because we're starting to get into the spring and the summer seasons. And so, you know, there's an element of, you know, having citrus in your beers and having some of those orange beers kind of comes into play. And so this is the New Belgium's, their Belgium Reserve Honey Orange Trappel. And that's what I brought today for us to try.
That is a Belgian style.
Yeah.
Trappel usually means the alcohol is a little higher.
Yeah.
And it should fairly be pronounced with those clove and banana kind of flavors. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm looking for when I hear the word Trappel.
Sure. Well, for one of the first things you said about higher in alcohol content, this one definitely does. It rings in at 10% alcohol by volume, so it's a bigger beer. It's
That's
a beefier
why we're
beer.
We're only going to have one.
Yeah, and you know, the nose on it for me is a little confusing because I almost feel like that there's so many things that are going on in this. You talked about banana, you talked about clove, but then we've got honey and we've got orange, and so we've got some coriander, and some of those things that come into that. So,
and I don't pick up on much more than the banana and a little spicy note of clove on it, on the aroma.
Yeah,
I do like the head or the foam on the beers, very thick and rich, and that does hold an awful lot of flavor in it. I do like the clarity and the color of the beer too. It's kind of a golden, orangey kind of color,
and it's a crisp, clear color. It's not like a,
it's not muddled.
Yeah, it's not muddled. It's not hazy. It's definitely very clear. Want to make sure you get your three sips in before I get you to give us any kind of your initial impressions. But I will say, I actually really like this. I like the, you know me, I'm a Hefeweizen fan, so this fits right in my wheelhouse.
This has definitely got those Hefeweizen flavors, as well as the Hefeweizen nose for me. Although there's something hidden in the nose and something hidden in the flavor when I taste it.
Yeah.
And for me, it must be the orange that's in there.
So
they say they use some Seville orange peel. That they get in locally at one of the shops there in Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice that they're not outsourcing directly to Seville to get the oranges. They go through their supplier downtown.
Yeah, well, and I'm looking at the origin story that they have for this online, and some really interesting elements about this beer that I wasn't aware of before that is that they actually get their honey from the African Bronze Honey Company. Mm-hmm. And I mention it because they're a member of the Fair Trade Federation and a B Corp. Uh-huh. And so, you know, we don't see that a lot. You know, you don't see a lot of B Corps, especially when you're thinking about beer. But really, a B Corp, by definition, is an organization that is a benefit corporation. And so they work for the benefit of their employees as much as the stakeholders. So it's kind of like this shared benefit element. And it is, there's a lot of work that goes into becoming a B Corp
and
being
work
certified.
To maintain it
And so for me, I appreciate the fact that they are acknowledging that and they're working with a company of that stature because it just takes work in order to do that. And then the other element about their Seville orange peels is that they get them from the Old Town Spice Shop. The spice shop helps them grind the peels a day before they brew.
Oh, nice.
So you want to talk about fresh, kind of that farm-to-table sort of element. They really are doing that, and they're doing it in a way that it is super, super, super fresh and immediate being done. And I love that, and that they're bringing in stuff from the local, you know, the local community with that spice shop in order to do this, and they're collaborative in that effort, and they produce a really good Trappel.
Yeah, I don't. So whenever you use orange peel, you run the risk, if you don't do it right, of getting some of the pith or the white part into the beer, too. And that has a slightly bitter kind of flavor in it. It's very astringent. And I don't taste any of that in this beer. And in fact, the more I sip it, the more I like it.
Yeah, that's... And thus is why you always wait until you've had at least three tastes before you can do that. I'm curious because they do a great job, New Belgium does, with giving you the insights on their beers. And they have two different types of hops. They use nugget hops, but then they also use Asterion Savinsky Golding's hop. So what does that mean?
Okay, so...
help the layman out here.
Golding's is a type of hop that's pretty common. There's East Kent Golding's, there's U.S. Golding's, there's Styrian Golding's, etc. And so they just are using a certain type of Golding's hop. Golding's is a nice earthy kind of hop. Lends a lot of... it would go very, very well with orange. It has a little bit of a citrusy note to it, but it's more in my experience with it, it's been a little bit more earthy and more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really, really like the EKG or the East Kent Goldings.
Okay.
I've used the U.S. Goldings. I haven't used the Styrian Goldings.
Okay. And then for their malt, they talk about pale, Munich, and then Pilsner malts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that that is a little bit more self-explanatory than the hops are.
It is.
Good.
Two-row is just a standard malt to do the base. The Pilsner is a lighter malt that you might find in a Pilsner, hence the name of it.
Sure.
And Munich is there for a little bit of sweetness and residual sweetness left over in the beer and a little bit of color.
Yeah.
So it adds a little darker note to it. If you just used Pilsner malt, your beer would be very, very pale yellow.
Oh, okay.
And if you just used two-row, it would be very pale straw color.
Mm-hmm.
So adding a little bit of Munich to it can make it a little darker of color and a little bit of color in the malt as well. Well, and a little bit of residual sugars, which is always good in something where you're going to accentuate honey and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The honey tends to, when you use it in brewing, it tends to be converted into alcohol, and the honey doesn't tend to impart much flavor to the beer at all, other than where you get the honey from.
Mm-hmm.
So, like if you get an orange blossom honey, you'll get orange blossom notes in your beer. Not a tremendous amount of flavor, but just some notes in there. So, where they get the honey from, you're tasting a little bit of the flowers that the bees got in that as well.
So the African element of that, it feels more of an international beer.
It does. And what they've chosen to put together to make this beer, it complements it, everything complements everything very, very well.
I think so, too.
And it was well constructed.
And I appreciate you diving in and digging into some of those elements that I'm just like, whoop, don't know. And so glad that we have you here to kind of break that down and talk about it. But it definitely reinforces what, at least in my opinion, what I'm tasting and enjoying and really like that. And, you know, for those of you nerds who like all of the different numbers, and I'm a nerd too, but so we already talked about 10% alcohol by volume. IBU comes in at 25, which I like. I'm a lower IBU guy. Right. And, you know, I know some of the people
with the
who
high alcohol, you can get away with a little higher number.
Absolutely. 285 calories, and then it's using a Trappist ale yeast. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kind of final question before we break, how does that yeast, you know, impact or act with this beer compared to something else?
So the reason why we're tasting the and smelling the banana notes and the clove and the flavors of bananas and cloves, that's actually coming from the yeast.
Oh, wow.
So there are many different kinds of yeast that do things. And this particular yeast is actually generating those while it's making the alcohol.
Gotcha.
So you can the Trappist yeast is a Belgian style yeast that is very, very characteristic in making those very pronounced Trappist style flavors.
Yeah.
If we used more like a Weihenstephan or a German style Hefeweizen yeast, we might get them, but they'd be a little bit more subtle.
Gotcha.
So they've over time have grown the yeast and selected the yeast to make just that kind of flavor. Yeah.
And I think to your point, it helps accentuate the elements that you're trying to bring out in this Trappel. And
if we wanted to make a 10% beer that had honey and orange in it, and we didn't use that particular yeast, it would be a completely different year, different beer. It would be orangey. We taste the hops a lot more. So I think that the Belgian Trappist yeast is really making this beer stand out.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, they did a pretty good job putting this recipe together.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Somebody sat down with a pencil and paper thought about this for more than a day before they put it together.
That's great. All right. Well, we're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, Doc and I are going to score and review this beer, and you're going to have to wait until after the commercials to find out what that is. But stick around. We'll be back in a few.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFK, Northern Colorado's voice. Final segment, review time. Doc, final thoughts on our...
You were mentioning this, and I'm going to bring it up.
No, please do,
Because over the break, we were talking about the aroma, and at first glance, you smell the banana and you smell the clove, but if you really start thinking about it, you smell something that's not that great in there, and that would be a, kind of like a Band-Aid-y kind of aroma, like the rubber off of a Band-Aid.
And you know the sad part about that, Doc, is you say that, and I think everybody listening, myself included, knows exactly what you're talking about.
And if you don't, you're running to your bathroom. You're like,
I don't think anybody over the age of 5 doesn't know what you're talking about. So anybody who is of legal drinking age completely knows what you mean.
Now, I'm going to say that is a mistake. It isn't a Band-Aid flavor. It isn't a Band-Aid aroma. It is the combination of the orange, the little bit of honey notes that we're getting, the maltiness of it that we're getting, and then the yeast aromas that are being put out, which is the banana and the clove. So when you mix those together, they do kind of have that little bit of thing that makes you think, uh-oh, what am I drinking? But trust me, to me, I don't consider this the same exact smell as a Band-Aid, which is great because if it did have that same smell as a Band-Aid, I wouldn't have put it in my mouth because it would have been terrible.
Well, and it's funny for, you know, and of course, we don't have video for the show, but, you know, when we were going to take our sip before we came back from the break, you know, Micah, the producer, was like, is everything okay? Because you have a funny look on your face. And I did as well, because I said, I couldn't place, you know, the aroma and the nose just seemed a little bit off. And I think what you're saying makes perfect sense. It's a combination of all those things. I'm not used to that smell. Not a lot of people are. And thankfully for me, the taste of the beer sort of allows that to not be pungent, to not be offensive.
And it doesn't, and it doesn't exist in the flavor
of
the beer.
Yeah.
So if it existed also in the flavor of the beer, then I would have said, okay, we've got a problem here. And this, we probably should move to the next bottle because that one's not good. But no, I overall impressions, pours with this amazing foamy head, has this golden orangey kind of colored beer that is just sits there and invites you to come in and savor it.
Yeah.
You get that banana and clove up front, a little bit of orange kind of flavor in the taste of the beer. The honey comes along for the ride.
Yeah.
Don't really notice that it's there much. But that's okay. You really shouldn't notice that it's there much. And then it finishes a little dry, making you kind of wanting another sip.
Yeah. And I love the way that you describe the beers that we do, because I would not be able to do it near the justice. I'm just thinking it's tasty, it's creamy, and, you know, I like all the elements that go into making this beer. And so I think we're ready. On a count of three, let's flip over our cards. One, two, three. I have a keg.
Yeah, me too. Sorry
it's
to say.
So good. I don't think. Why are you sorry to say? I mean, but that is a Beer Talk approved beer right there.
Beer.
And there we go. Yeah, I'm.
It is. It's one of those beers. If you haven't had the chance to try their Trappel, you should.
Yeah.
New Belgium does an amazing job of making Belgian style beers.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the Trappel, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I love every one of the ones that they've made.
And I know when I was picking up my, you know, my review beer today, when I was stopping on the way to the station, they had both the honey orange and they had their standard Trappel.
Right.
And I went with the honey orange primarily because we're getting to that part of the year where, you know, it's summer and it just made me think crisp and clean and kind of those elements. And so certainly wanted to try that. They did have the standard Trappel as well. We see that on their website.
And if you have a chance to just get the Trappel, you'll get the same kind of experience. Just erase orange from your mind. Yeah. And other than that, it's almost exactly the same kind of experience that we just had. They also have a whole bunch of other
Belgian-style
beers.
They definitely do. So, yeah. And I'm
great company.
A big fan of that. And, I mean, obviously, being New Belgium, you would expect them to do those. And it's funny because we were laughing about how many different varieties of the Voodoo Ranger IPA that they have. And that's what they're primarily known for. And not being an IPA fan, I've tended not to get a lot of beers from New Belgium because I feel like that's what they primarily
are
known
for. And, you
know,
when they first came out with Ranger, I was like, yeah, that's my beer right
there. Yeah, there you go.
And so I was like, we're buying like 12 packs. We're doing everything we can because that Ranger was a great beer. And then they switched over to the Voodoo Ranger, and I don't care for it as much because I'm not that kind of a hophead kind of IPA kind of guy.
Yeah.
I really did like the Ranger, though.
Yeah.
So, however, they still have all these Belgian styles and Fat Tire.
They definitely. Well, and I remember that was one of the very first, maybe not one of the first beers we reviewed, but I remember right after they changed the recipe, we did that review and we talked about how it wasn't the.
It wasn't the original.
It wasn't the original. There definitely was some changes to that. And I think that you and I and Chad all said that it wasn't as good.
Well, and you remember there's so many people that cut their teeth.
Yeah.
Learn.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, craft beer, you know, includes Fat Tire. Yeah. And that's the one I learned to drink craft beer on. And it's not the same anymore. So that's okay.
Yeah.
They have a ton of other beers that are just, you know, wonderful beers to try your taste buds with.
Yeah. They definitely, they're not. It's not like they're doing bad business by any stretch of the imagination,
no, not at all.
But I think that there was probably a little bit of sadness in all of us when we were trying the new Fat Tire because, you're right. It was different and, you know, and companies and people need to evolve and people need to change and we need to grow. And the only constant in life is change. And so we have to adapt to that. But sometimes you're like, yeah, but I don't want that change. I don't want that to happen. And so we're thankful that we had this beer, and I'm really glad that we went down this path today. So, super good.
So, I think so, too. Hey, I just wanted to let everybody
what's going
know
on?
That this week we've got a live band on Friday. It's Wild Nights. They're a local band, and they are amazing. Thursday night's still our rock band bingo, and Wednesday is cribbage night. So if you'd like to play cribbage, come on out.
Sounds like a bunch of great, really exciting and fun opportunities and reasons to visit Rule 105. And so, you know, Doc, as always, it's been a pleasure. I love all of the educational elements you bring to the show and help me learn to be a better beer drinker every day.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. And everybody, that's our cutoff. You stay thirsty, Greeley.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.